Welcome to The Reality Check here on Revolution Radio. My name is Nigel Booth, The Reality Coach. And today we are going to be talking about something that I've got to be honest with you, has blown my mind a little bit. But before we come on to that, as usual, Captain the Chair, Glenn, how's it going, my friend?
Yeah, going good, thank you.
Good weekend?
Yeah, really good, actually. Yeah, I went to a party. It was for, and some of you listeners may know Iffy Thomas because she has a radio show here on the Friday at 1 p.m. So, yeah, Iffy was having a wedding party with her husband and asked us to go along, but also not just as guests, but to be like the master of ceremonies. So me and Amy were asked to have kind of a role in it, which was quite nice. So yeah, we got to kind of stand up and say a few words and introduce all the speakers and that type of thing. So.
Wow. Them are the kind of things that make your weekend special.
It was fantastic. Yeah, it felt nice to be asked to do something, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think there is something that a lot of people have stopped doing, which is asking for help, asking somebody to, can you do this for me?
Yeah.
Because when you think about it, there's a lot of people that, you know, something will happen and they'll come to you after and say, oh, and we say, you should have phoned, oh, we didn't want to.
Yeah, definitely.
Didn't want to bother you. You know, and it's like, aren't we all the same? We love to be asked, you know, and if we can, of course, we love to help.
Yeah.
I think it is that real deeper sense of self.
Yeah, you take something from it yourself as well, don't you? It's not entirely selfless, but you're helping somebody else, but you're always going to take something away yourself as well, and that's fine.
I think it is that thing of asking, you know, being asked, sorry. You know, when somebody asks you, oh, can you do me a favour? Could you do this? And, you know, because you're good at that and you bum bum, you know, it's like, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. Anyway, back to the subject of today. Today we're going to talk about, and I'm going to try and get this right, Aphantasia.
Yeah.
It sounds very much like a Disney program.
Yeah, that's Fantasia, isn't it?
Right.
With all the little, brooms and stuff dancing. I haven't seen it since, like, I was a child.
I've got to be honest with you. No,
it was one of the early ones, I think. It was some of the early animation that they did.
But Aphantasia.
It's all right. I don't mind correcting you. I'll just correct you every time. I do that anyway.
You do that anyway with everything. But this is something that you have discovered.
Yeah.
That this week you may actually have. Which,
I think so, yeah.
And is only 3% of the population that have it.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably a bit of a finger in the air job because it's not something that's been... people have done studies, but it's not something that's been... investigated at any great length until more recently anyway.
Okay.
So I think that's the kind of that I'm sure they've asked a sample of people and scaled it up, whether it is actually, but it's quite rare, it's a low percentage.
So for you guys listening out there, I really want you to listen to this, because when Glenn first said to me this, you know, and put me through the little tests to see whether or not I have got Aphantasia. Thank you. I hope all you guys out there really get as much pleasure out of me pronouncing things wrong as Glenn does.
Me too.
There you go. But tell everybody about aphantasia.
So aphantasia is, in as it's described.
I'm not going to say it again.
No, it's okay. So on Google, basically, it's described as the inability to form mental images of objects that are not present. For me, what I think I found the most profound about this is it's when you hear something like this and you realize that your whole life, you've experienced life differently to everyone else.
Wow.
I think that's the biggest thing out of it.
So I'm going to give a quote. And the quote, I believe, is from Einstein. Mm-hmm. And Einstein turned around and said, imagination is far greater than knowledge. And what he was talking about there was the ability to use your imagination to project forward and see the, you know, your potential and what could happen. He was saying that that is far greater than knowledge. Knowledge is just something that you know.
Yeah.
Imagination is something that can just expand and expand and expand.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I've always been fascinated with, you know, but this, what you're talking about, kind of brings a lot of that into question for a small minority of the world's population.
Possibly. I don't know. See, this is where, and this is why it's interesting getting into this stuff, because it makes me then really explore it and work through it and ask other people. I've been asking since I found this out last week. I literally, every person I speak to, I'm like, right, do you have this? Yeah. Do you experience this? And asking them to
just
do
before
the
you go on in with it, can you explain to the listeners exactly what it is that we're talking about here? Because I know that you've said it's
I only briefly touched on it in the first segment. So, yeah, if, just to go a bit deeper, and also if you just joined us, we're talking about what something I discovered last week was it's called aphantasia. It's described on the internet as the inability to form mental images of objects that are not present. So what this got me thinking about how if I close my eyes and they say like one of the tests that you can do, a really easy test is basically to close your eyes and visualize an apple. And if you see in your kind of mind's eye, your imagination, and I'm talking about something I don't experience here. So, even the faintest out, you know, you get a variety of detail. Some people might see a really detailed apple with color and light shading and everything. Other people may just have a very faint, fuzzy outline or even just a fuzzy outline of a shape. If you experience any of those things,
you
have not got aphantasia. It's only if you see nothing. And when I close my eyes, it's just blank. I don't see anything.
Okay,
all.
So for listeners then, and unless you're driving or using machinery,
absolutely.
Of course, what we want you to do, and I hope I've got this right, Glenn, is that closing your eyes, so close your eyes now, and what we want you to do, I want you to think of an apple. Now, I'm not going to give any other description than that. You know, apples come in various shapes and sizes and colours. And I want you to just spend the next couple of seconds just thinking about an apple and seeing whether or not in your mind's eye, in your imagination, within side of you, do you see the apple? Do you see the faintest outline? Do you see a colour? And I suppose we could even go one step further than that and say, do you smell it? There's a lot of the things that, you know, and I've talked for... Well, ever since we've been doing this radio show and for the last four decades, talking about getting people to project forward, use your imagination, try and this has really brought this to a standstill for me because you're saying there's a small percentage of people that can't do that. So
I suppose what I'd counter with that though is that I wouldn't necessarily describe it as an imagination. Like I wouldn't sit here and say I have no imagination. Definitely have an imagination.
Okay.
I can project forward. I can think of the future. I can pick. And this is going to sound really hard to get your head around. Like I can picture things.
Yeah.
But I don't physically see it. Like I can visualize a place that I've been. I know the layout of it and where the, you know, that tree's there and that's there, but I just don't see it in terms of in color or in detail or in any amount of detail. And the people that I've spoken to in the last week or so, while I've been asking them, have said to me, "Well, that's different to my experience of life."
So we're talking here about something called, and I'm going to try and get it right this time, aphantasia.
No, aphantasia. Oh,
forget it, whatever it's called. But this this thing that you're talking about, that you kind of discovered only last week, and you've done lots of research into this. There's about 3% of individuals that and I'm still trying to get it around my head about what this is, because you can visualize where you've been and you could explain it and describe it and, you know. But if you were to sort of say, think of an apple, you couldn't see in your mind, in your imagination, call it whatever it is, you couldn't see an apple.
Yeah, I don't see it. Now, I know what an apple looks like enough to be able to describe it. I could draw it poorly, but that's not because of my, that's because I'm not very good at art.
Yeah.
But I can't see anything physically.
So how do we, because the first thing that comes into me, it's like, I think as you know, and most of our listeners, I don't hold on to anything. You know, I don't hold on to any emotion, whether it's good or bad, because I like to live in the moment.
Yeah.
But I do take time out on a regular basis. I meditate, I think, I'm planning because I'm a great believer in projecting forward and planning.
Yeah.
But this must be incredibly difficult to do if you are one of the 3% that have got this. Is it a condition?
I think I was just reading about this and it was saying that it's not something that's researched or known enough to even be like diagnosed right. as a condition, or it's not an illness or a disease, or at least it hasn't been classified as such yet. It's very understudied, to be honest, or unstudied is actually the word, sorry. I mean, I was just looking on the internet, it says that the phenomenon was first described by Francis Galton in 1880. Unstudied since then, really, but the interest in it sort of renewed after the publication of a study in 2015 conducted by a professor, Adam Zeman, of the University of Exeter. And he went and spoke to, I think it was about 10,000 people that he managed to identify that have this, and was like, then got into the detail of what their experience was like of life. And I suppose there's varying, even within that, there's probably varying degrees of people having it to that extent, because some people describe elements of it as not being able to visualize faces to the extent that you wouldn't recognize somebody. But I'm not sure if that's something different, because that's not what I can't picture someone's face in my mind, like even the face of a loved one or something. Like, I can't picture it in my mind.
Do you know, the more you talk about this,
I think you've got this as well. You know, because I think that's what we've established today. Because you're the first person that I've spoken to about it that's not gone, that's mental.
Yeah. No, it's the more you talk about it, the more you explain it, and the more you describe what it is, and it's like. I'm not in the position at this moment, if I'm being very honest with you, to say it has really battered my head in, because I certainly cannot visualize an apple in my mind. I know what an apple looks like, exactly same. As you say.
Yeah.
And when you were talking about, you know, I was thinking, okay, I want to sort of visualize Sharon. Now, I see Sharon every single day.
Yeah.
You know, but then you close your eyes and I know what it is that she looks like.
Yeah.
Of course. You know, and you could recognize her out of a million people, you know, but... I'm not too certain whether I can actually.
I mean, this is a good test, right? Because if everyone listening at home just writes in and says, Glenn, what you're describing is exactly the same as how I see life, and I mean everyone, then I've got this wrong and I haven't got this.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah. You know, I'm only speaking from, I've read some stuff. I looked at what they said the test is. I did that. I didn't see an apple. There's some other things that I've looked at where they say, what was the other thing they talked about, was like, when people say about counting sheep, go to bed and sleep, and count sheep jumping over a fence. To me, I always just thought that was a metaphor. I didn't actually think people meant that they're watching sheep jumping over a fence.
Well, here's the question. Does anybody listening, when you actually go and count sheep, or you visualise an apple, did you see an apple? Do you see sheep? Aphantasia. Did I get it right?
No. Okay. Aphantasia.
Aphantasia.
Yep.
No. Okay. Okay, no.
But, you know, let's move on. I was trying to look for the, you know, well, the negatives and the positives of it. Somebody described aphantasia as a gift. It's not a hindrance. It's the best possible gift you can have. You have a mind that is naturally quiet and imageless. You don't have a million random thoughts and mental pictures floating through your head and distracting you. Now, that's interesting, because there's two... I've spoken on the radio before, actually, about another element of my life that I experienced differently to some other people, although way more common. I think this is kind of... one third of people don't have what's called either an inner monologue or inner self-talk, or that voice in the head that's speaking in sentences and criticizing you or complimenting you or making recommendations, and can sometimes be viewed, I think, and I'm not speaking from experience here because I don't have this, but I understand, can sometimes be viewed as almost like another personality, like it's there's you and there's this like passenger that makes comments on things and is there for whatever reason. And not everyone has that. And again, this is another thing I found fascinating when I found out. Anything where I find out that people experience life differently. You know, we're all walking around together in this world, and yet our experience of reality can be so totally different from one person to the next.
Absolutely.
So finding out that I've potentially got both of these things is quite interesting. Because for me, it's like I've got no voice in my head, and I've got no pictures in my head either.
Well, I think that I've come to the conclusion that I haven't got this.
Yeah,
And the reason that if we're going off that as a definition and what we're saying on the research that we've done is that I have forever, my mind is never quiet. My mind is, you know, and we've talked on the show before about having something between 50 and 70,000 unique thought threads every day. I've always said I think I've got so much money more than that.
Yeah,
because
sure.
My mind is always thinking of things. The concept of the visualization, I'm still finding it difficult to visualize an apple in my head.
Yeah.
But the advantages in today's society of having this condition called
Aphantasia.
Thank you. That's a lot easier to do it that way, isn't it?
Yeah.
Shall we try that again? So having this condition called...
Aphantasia.
There we go.
Seamless.
Seamless, of course. It only took us the first part of the show. But I deal with people every single day that, you know, we talk about mindfulness and where their mind is full.
Mm.
Full to overflowing, and you know, it's like, as it's almost somebody described it, and we talked about it on the show, of almost having a dyslexic mindset.
Mm.
You start one sentence, and before you've actually got to the end, another sentence is started, and before you finish that, another one is started.
Yeah, and that's definitely something where, from what I've read about, and again, I'm kind of detaching a little bit away from aphantasia to go to talk a little bit about like the inner monologue or lack of. That's something that I've noticed, is that I in terms of thoughts, I thinking kind of concepts or metaphors. Mm-hmm. It's not words. I can, and it's really difficult to describe because it's not in words, but I find that I can go on a trail of thought and jump from one thing to the next like so quickly, like really, really quickly, because I'm not having to wait for the sentence to finish to work out the next bit. But again, if I've got that totally wrong and everyone else's experience is like that, then, you know, email in and tell me.
Well, and again, I'll tell you what, that's what we do want to do. We want to really throw that out there today and say, you need your opinion.
Yeah, because I find it really interesting. I want the feedback. And I'm like, I can ask everybody that I talk to, but that's how many people do you speak to in a week. But here I sit on the radio. It's like, this is a shout out. Like,
well, we have around about 10,000 people coming into the show. So we need at least 1% of that. So, you know, we need 100 people to write in and tell us what it is that you think.
Yeah.
And aphantasia.
Well done.
Well, I got it right that time. Aphantasia is a concept that has been around since around 1880. It was first talked about, mm-hmm. where people have not either got this internal dialogue.
No, sorry, I've confused things here talking about the internal
dialogue.
That's a totally separate topic, but I thought I'd just comment on it.
So
aphantasia is solely about the images.
Right,
the mental images.
Okay. Now, I have just figured out that, like, I have not got aphantasia.
Right.
And the reason that I know that is when I meditate, and I actually recorded a meditation CD. And guys, if any of you out there, and you did hear me right, CD. It was back in the days when CDs were the big thing.
Right, but a vast majority of our listenership probably don't know what you're talking
about. It's one of these round little disc things that you put in this box and it says something. But I actually did a meditation CD many years ago based on a Taoism concept, the pond in the valley. And I read the passage, which took a short while, and the rest of it was my imagination. I could actually visualize being at the top of this mountain, and even like a bird of prey just coming down the side of the mountain, going into the forest through the canopy of the forest, and I could visualize the little track I was going down, the pool that I came to. And not only, you know, I spoke earlier on about the feel and the smell, because, and I'm assuming it's all connected somewhere.
I think our senses are all connected.
They've
in a way, aren't they? And it's like you hear about that where people have got one sense has gone and other ones become much stronger.
Enhanced,
like, I know,
of course.
I used to have an old upright piano. And I had a piano tuner that would come round to the house and tune it.
Yep.
And he was totally blind. Like, he came, his brother brought him there, and he held onto his arm to come into the house to be guided in, you know, totally blind. And then he used to tune my piano by ear.
Wow.
And it's quite common. A lot of piano tuners
are actually
blind because they've got that heightened sense, because the other senses are like, oh, right, we better...
Double time.
Yeah,
yeah. You know. So I think what I was wanting to say to you guys out there listening to the show... And I've also been corrected. It's not 10,000 people that listen. We've got up to 250,000 people.
Yeah, that's a good number.
What I'm saying to you is, out there, let us know. Because this really is fascinating stuff. Mm. And like I say, it's been around since 1880. Still not really been looked into. But the concept, can you visualize an apple? And I really wanted to have a go at it. Again, close your eyes and just think of an apple. I ain't going to tell you what size it is, what shape it is, what color is, you know, or what is the brand of it, but see whether or not you can visualize it. Let us know. It's easy to let us know. Email nigel@therealitycoach.co.uk. Even if you wanted to sort of record a little bit of a message, we're quite happy to play that message over the air. And
absolutely.
Certainly, if you want to come in and, you know...
And talk about your experience. Talk about how you experience life. What's your reality like?
Absolutely. And if you can't come in, we can always do a phone-in. Mm. You know, it's yeah. not a problem. We Absolutely. Are going to be opening up the reality check to as many people as we can that are going to want to pay forward and share their experience to see if we can help somebody else.
Definitely. It's really interesting what you were saying. Just to go back to you talking about meditation there. So I've done some guided meditation quite a lot. Of that and you know, using videos and guided with a voice that tells you to like imagine things and relax and let all the thoughts disappear, you know, like many of these videos are. And I've always struggled with that because quite often they do say like picture yourself on a desert island you know, surrounded by the trees and you can see the and I've always thought of it as a concept, but I never see anything at all.
When I was,
I didn't realize everyone else did.
Yeah, when I recorded this meditation audio, I won't say CD. I remember trying to visualize different things that I wanted to talk about, and I actually talked about an ice cube melting in the summer sun, and as it began to melt, you know, and I actually visual, and that's why I said, you know, yep, got it. No, I've not got this because I remember, and I can, you know, visualize this ice cube melting. It was on a picnic bench. And I visualized it melting. I described it in the meditation. So I've definitely not got it. So guys out there, two things. Get in touch. If you want the meditation CD, let us know. I'm quite happy to send you a copy. Let us know whether you think that you have got...
Aphantasia.
And I've got it right at the end.
Yeah, there you go.
God, listen, thank you so much for your time today. I hope you have a phenomenal weekend. It's looking like the weather is going to run right the way through till the beginning of next week. And we will catch up with you next week. Don't forget, let us know your thoughts. If you want to come into the show, you want to phone into the show, all you've got to do is let us know. And we'll talk to you next week. Until then, see you soon.